You are tuned in to the CU Insight Trendline, the credit union industry's podcast for the latest perspectives, shifts, and key content to keep you informed and ahead. I'm Greg Micklig, President and CEO at CUinsight.com, here to bring you the trends shaping our industry every other week, all in under 15 minutes. Let's track the trend. Welcome to this episode of the CU Insight Trendline. We've got some new things planned for you in this episode, but let's get things started the way we always do by going to John Pettit for a few trending articles on CUinsight.com.
This is John Pettit, Managing Editor at CU Insight, and I'm here with a look at my top three trending articles right now on CUinsight.com. At number three this week is an article titled, "Someday They Won't Call You Young Anymore," from Landings Credit Union's Brian Lee. You're not going to be the young professional forever, so own it while it lasts. In his latest CU Insight article, Brian Lee shares a great line from a mentor that stuck with him. "Someday they won't call you young anymore, and you'll wish they did." As he reflects on becoming a CEO at 38, he reminds us that being young isn't about your age. It's about your drive to shake things up and make things better. Bottom line, keep pushing. Keep growing, and don't let a label define your impact. At number two this week, I've chosen AI Revolutionizes Loan Approvals at Centris Federal Credit Union, from Origins' Bill Lynch. Centris Federal Credit Union is shaking things up by integrating AI into their loan approval process. This move has bumped up their automated loan decisions by 20%, even amidst economic challenges. By leveraging AI, they're not only speeding up approvals, but also reducing biases, leading to more satisfied members and dealers. Centris VP Rick Seaman calls it a win-win-win for the credit union, the dealer, and the member. Stay tuned later in the podcast for my number one trending article on CU Insight. For now, I'm going to send it over to my colleague, Alyssa Horwitz.
Great. Thanks, John. In our recent CU Spotlight, we featured Addition Financial Credit Union, who revamped their Renovate to Educate program to address critical needs in Central Florida schools. Education has been part of Addition Financial's DNA since its founding by a small group of Orange County educators in 1937. Over the years, both the organization and its membership have expanded, but their commitment to supporting students, teachers, and schools remains a fundamental part of their mission. This year, they enhanced their Renovate to Educate program to better address the changing needs of their community by transforming need spaces at local schools to support unhoused and low-income students and their families. Here is Christina Lehman, Executive Director of Addition Financial Foundation, to share more.
7 years ago, Addition Financial created a program called Renovate to Educate, where we wanted to give back to classroom teachers and make their classroom dreams a reality. And it was really a nod to the educators that created our own credit union over 85 years ago. Now we are renovating our own program, and we are focusing schools' needs pantries that provide food, toiletries, clothing to the unhoused or underhoused families at those schools. We really think that basic needs need to be met before education can be a part of a child's life. So this not only will impact one teacher, but it will impact an entire school.
That's a great program from Addition Financial Credit Union. Thank you, Alyssa, for that credit union spotlight. Recently, I posted a poll in the CU Insight LinkedIn group listing a few topics we've been hearing about. I asked, which of these topics is trending most in credit unions right now? I also mentioned that we'd be using these polls to help shape future episodes of the CU Insight Trendline podcast. The top vote-getter in that poll was P2P to attract younger members. Just earlier this week, I had the opportunity to attend Valera Live 25 at the beautiful Gaylord Rockies just outside of Denver. While there, I caught up with Rob Goodwin, Vice President of Network Growth at Valera, and we had a great discussion about this topic. Let's dive into that conversation now. So Rob, how do P2P offerings shape the way people transfer funds for consumers?
Yeah, thanks, Greg. It's interesting if you look over time how P2P has just increased in terms of usage amongst credit union members. So we have research from last May that shows about 61% of members use P2P solutions about 1 to 3 times a month. And then 25% of members use P2P as their primary payment instrument, which is really fascinating, right? That someone would use P2P really as their main way to pay for things. So, you know, it's really transformed into this ubiquitous solution where most people are using it for a variety of ways. It might be paying your babysitter or sharing expenses for meals with friends, having someone do your taxes, whatever it might be. It really has become kind of part of the landscape in terms of regular ways for people to pay.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've actually just experienced that myself in my home life. And when you say the stats, that's more usage than I guess I would have imagined. But I'm just starting to use it in some of the things that we do with our family as well. And so that's a case in point, I guess, to what you just said. You know, kind of with that in mind, what are the main differences between the different types of P2P solutions?
Sure. I think, you know, when you look at how P2P evolved in this country, you have some of these kind of standalone solutions such as PayPal or Venmo, even Cash App, where it's, again, a standalone experience that members, they might have that app downloaded, move money, you know, again, amongst friends or others, you know, using that application. And then you have other solutions such as Zelle that are more integrated within a financial institution's, you know, mobile experience. So you need to log into your online banking, digital banking, and then use the P2P solution through that FI relationship. FedNow would be another solution like that where it's tightly integrated inside the FI's experience.
So when you're thinking about those integrated solutions, especially, of course, for credit unions, what should those credit unions be considering when it comes to those different flavors of P2P?
Sure. Yeah, I think there's a couple of things to look at. One is certainly is experience and, you know, friction. So if somebody already is using a financial institution, let's say, as their primary relationship, and they can go into that application, and in addition to, you know, looking at checking or savings, those sorts of things, also, you know, P2P money movement. So you have that experience side to just look at, obviously, PayPal and Venmo or even Cash App or Apple Cash are external solutions. And so credit union doesn't really have a stake in those in terms of money. You might see outflows going out of an account, right, ACH. And then once it's at that, you know, with that provider, credit unions kind of get disintermediated. One last thing I'd mention about that is, you know, if you look back when P2P really started evolving, and at first it was just seen as the money movement kind of sitting in that external account. But then over time, the external providers, if you will, started launching debit cards, and even some of them launched credit cards. So now what was maybe seen as harmless, oh, my member keeps $100 at Venmo. Well, now Venmo has a debit card. That $100 isn't coming back to a credit union, right? It's staying there and maybe slowly chipped away by a debit card. So another thing to be thinking about is losing those relationship touch points, and in the end, debit interchange as well, right? Because the money's been, you know, kind of living outside of the relationship or the account with the credit union.
That's really great information, Rob, and I really appreciate you taking a few minutes with me here at Valero Live to be on the CU Insight Trendline podcast.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me, Greg. Great to see you.
I'm grateful for the opportunity to chat with Rob and encourage you to visit Valero.com for more information on P2P payments, as well as the many other services they have to offer. Now, we're excited to introduce a new marketing segment here on the CU Insight Trendline. And who better to kick things off than someone who's already making a tremendous impact at CU Insight? Whitney Bedard, our new VP of Marketing and Digital. Whitney's been with us just over 2 months, and in that short time, she's brought a fresh perspective, bold ideas, and energy that's elevating everything we do. Whitney, take it away.
Thanks, Greg. While there is certainly never a shortage of marketing trends, I wanted to cover a few that are specific to LinkedIn, especially ones that are super relevant for us as marketers in the credit union space. So let's talk video. which continues to be one of the most effective tools on LinkedIn in 2025. I know people have mixed feelings about video making its way onto LinkedIn, but it's going to be an important consideration for your team to make, so we'll dive in. Credit unions can really lean into video content for things like careers and hiring. It's an awesome opportunity to create short, authentic videos that highlight your workplace culture, your values, and what it's like to be part of the team. We're talking quick hits, walkthroughs of your branches, team members sharing what they love about what they do, or even a simple day in the life. These don't need to be overly produced, nothing fancy. And one of the best ways to make it happen is by partnering with folks in HR, your talent teams. Collaborating with them to capture these moments can boost engagement, cast a wider net for top talent, and create content that really reflects who you are as an organization. Plus, it's cost effective. A few good video clips can be repurposed across job posts, social media, internal channels, you name it. It's also a great format for highlighting philanthropy. Sharing videos of your team giving back or supporting local causes really brings your mission to life. And don't forget to spotlight your employees. Milestones, promotions, anniversaries, or just really cool accomplishments they may have made. These posts humanize your brand and usually see really great engagement. And on that note, LinkedIn has rolled out some cool new features this year, including comment analytics. You can now see who's engaging with your post and how often, which gives you a much clearer picture of what content is resonating, which is super helpful to refining your strategy. I like to stay on top of marketing trends by following a few people. I wanted to shout out a few that I regularly refer to. So if you're not already, check out Lindsay Gamble. He's covering these new tools and features on LinkedIn as they dropped. I also follow Dave Gerhart and Wandia Churi for their sharp takes on what's next in marketing. We'll be sure to link those so you can check them out as well. I hope you found these marketing trends helpful. We'll be sure to engage with this content if we see it on your credit union pages and see you putting it into action. And now to John for the number one trending article.
Welcome back. My number one article trending right now on CU Insight is Building Loyalty in an Era of Rising Fraud. Three steps to reduce financial losses and retain members. From KSAP's Shanti Shunmugam. In her article, Shanti outlines three key strategies for credit unions to combat rising fraud and enhance member loyalty. Number one, use data and AI tools to quickly differentiate real fraud from false claims, streamlining the resolution process. Two, keep members informed during fraud investigations to build trust and ensure swift resolutions. And three, continuously improve fraud prevention with data by regularly analyzing fraud trends and member feedback to adapt and strengthen prevention strategies. Shanti says implementing these steps can not only reduce financial losses, but also lead to stronger member relationships. I recently asked Shanti, how can credit unions effectively balance the need for robust fraud prevention measures with the ability to maintain a seamless and user-friendly member experience, especially considering the potential friction caused by advanced security protocols?
Great question. Many credit unions I speak to believe that they have to choose between low fraud losses or a seamless member experience. Why? Because it's really hard to tell who's telling the truth and who's not, so they make all the members jump through the same hoops trying to catch the few fraudsters. Instead, what if you could have members jump through their hoops, different hoops, based on their history and what actually looks like fraud versus not? If credit unions can use the data they have to ask the right questions up front, personalized and tailored to that member's unique situation, they have a much better chance of figuring out if that member is indeed in a fraudulent situation or is the fraudster themselves. And once they can figure that out, they can immediately differentiate the two experiences while giving members that are in sticky situations that seamless instant resolution that they honestly have come to expect from their financial institution while making sure the fraudsters don't get to pull a fast one.
Thanks a lot, Shanti. That's all for my top three trending articles right now on CU Insight. Greg, back to you.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode of the CU Insight Trendline. I'm Greg Miklik, President and CEO at CUinsight.com. Please like and share with your friends and colleagues across the industry if you found this valuable. The team and I will be back next time with more. more updates to keep you ahead of the curve. Until then, keep tracking the trend.